There is a number of directions that we can go in because the word is so rich. But in talking about the things that God's wanting to do within our lives, we've used a word a couple different times. Miss Julie even said it here. Audrey started the first night using this word, and it was the word reset. And it's an interesting word because it can be a place of where we just feel completely dead, completely like whatever, and we just need kind of the the paddles. Reset. And maybe that's you, and God is able to do that. It's also some that we've just gotten complacent in rhythm. And so we have to have a reset of just hunger and pursuit. And there's some in a reset that it's God truly wanting to change directions with our lives, that a season is coming to a close and there's something new. And you sense it, but because you don't know what it is, you're getting worried because you can't control it. And so for a lot of people, when you hear reset, it sounds fun, but can I just tell you, reset means we have to leave some things behind. You don't get to go higher, farther, new, greater without leaving something behind. Because there's different mentalities that we have. There's different emotions that we're going through. There's different relationships that are around us. There's even different commitments we have made. And whenever I say this, I always have to be careful because sometimes people in their desire for reset, they want to shirk off certain relationships and get rid of commitments that is just their flesh. So you're not going home and divorcing your husband at the end of this. And you laugh, but sometimes people are like, Carrie said, it's time to reset. Send in a text, start packing the bags. Please don't do that. Okay. So you have to hear this in the right way, okay? You have to hear it because, again, we're resetting. We're leaving certain things. We're starting fresh. We're putting other things aside because the Holy Spirit's directing us. So what Audrey was talking about, the role of the Holy Spirit within our lives, that's that walking, right? That's that divine order because we're not the ones calling the shots. And if we're not careful, this world has such a concept of the independent woman that they'll try to apply that to God. You're so independent and you're so talented and you're such your own individual, you don't need God. You're your own boss. You don't need anybody to boss you around or tell you who you are or what you could do or when you can do it. And it's prevalent today, and not just in this generation, but generations before. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And so what we have to do is come to a place, it's not us proving ourselves in this world as women. It's having the joy of knowing that God's in charge. His will, his bill. Amen, come on. His will, his bill. His vision, his provision. Right? His leading, his guiding. His will, our obedience. And his bill. Yes, I can tell you the freedom when we come into a place of surrender and trust and say, Holy Spirit, the success of this day is you telling me what to do and I'll obey it. And getting over this pride of like, well, I want to say. Okay, you can have a say. You can totally have a say. And have fun with the results of that. Amen. And I'm not saying that out of with an attitude. Because I've had an attitude. well, Lord, could we, I think we need to talk about this. I think we need to negotiate. And he's just like, you're so cute. Clueless, but cute. You know, we've quoted both Audrey and I, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, multiple times in this conference. Right, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct, or other versions say, shall make straight your paths. And that's, again, some of that aspect of alignment that we were talking about, making straight. It's not this upside-down roller coaster. How many in here love roller coasters? You crazy. You do the roller coaster and they take a picture of you. And I was with my daughter and they had a picture of us and I was like screaming, ah, but I was smiling, ah, because that's what I do. I just smile. When I think you're crazy, I'll smile at you. When I think you're stupid, I'll smile at you. When I'm scared, I'll smile at you. You don't know. My daughter, she just shut down. It's like something internally, she's, and you see her like this. And I'm like, so either way, however you react to things in life, right? God says he will make straight our paths. Because here's the thing, in verse 7 and 8, and I want us to read these next verses, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, what Audrey was saying the first night. The reason we don't fear the Lord and the reason we love evil is because we think we're so smart. We're wise in our own eyes. If we're wise in our own eyes, you don't feel the dependence of needing the Lord. And so this is one of those questions we need to ask ourselves, Lord, is there areas in my life where I think I've got it, that I'm wise in my own eyes? And sometimes you're like, listen, I'm willing to be wrong, except in these 1,700 areas. I'm humble, except for when I'm right. And he goes on to say that fearing the Lord and departing from evil, it said it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And for a lot of us, there's different, and can I just say that there's different things that the enemy, and it's the enemy, guys, that is attacking our physical bodies. But the way we're responding to it is in our own wisdom. And so what we have to do is we have to get to that place of our bodies belong to the Lord, and so we start speaking the word over it versus confirming our symptoms. So what I want to share with you tonight, and one of the aspects of divine order and abundant overflow, and building off of what Audrey talked about, this role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you something outside of the will of God. The Holy Spirit is never going to speak something outside of the Word of God. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks a very specific language. Who speaks a foreign language in here? All right. So if someone's sitting next to you, okay, how many of you, as you know a foreign language, and you go to the grocery store, and you're just doing your thing, and then you hear somebody speaking your language, it's like your ear tunes up to it, doesn't it? It tunes up to, huh. And you don't mean to, but you're totally eavesdropping. Right? It was like when I was in Russia, right? We'd be doing something, and if we heard somebody in English speaking, it was like a silent dog whistle. Where's that coming from? And then we'd go around and be like, hi. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. Where are you from? It was like, We speak the same language, so we're friends, right? You'd be sightseeing or down at the American Embassy, and you're like, hugs, let's all hug each other. I understand what you're saying. So your ears tune to a language that you know, especially if you're surrounded by a language you don't know. And you live in this world, but you are not of this world. And I'll tell you, unfortunately, many of us know the language of this world. And because of it, our ears are tuned to the language of this world. But because you are no longer of the world, but now you are ministers of reconciliation, you are ambassadors entrusted with the good news, that means it's time to learn a new language. So мы буду говорить по-русски. Amen. Тебя люблю, девочка. Муа. When I talk to the devil, I talk to him in Russian. Что ты думаешь? Я глупая? What do you think? I'm stupid? There's just something about saying in the name of Jesus, and when you say it in Russia, во имя Иисуса Христа. Just sounds harsher. It's time to learn a new language. And that language has to be that we have to know the heart of God. We have to know the Word. And if we're going to have this abundant overflow and we're going to walk in this obedience, we have to be able to hear the words for us to obey them. And so it's saying, okay, Lord, what is my relationship with the Word? And I always say this, you cannot separate your relationship with God, your intimacy with God, this I love God and He loves me, I hear God, from your relationship with the Word of God. And unfortunately, I know too many wonderful, beautiful Christian women who are flakes. Because they make up God's voice. And they make up God's will. And they said, thus says the Lord. And it's like, no, you of the devil. Or you're just speaking the language of the devil because it's just worldly language. And we're not called to be flaky women. We read out of Psalms chapter 1 this morning. It says that we shall be planted by streams of living water. And it says that we shall produce our fruit in its season. And it says, our leaf shall not wither. We are not withering women. Amen? You are a more fruit woman, John chapter 15. And he's wanting to do some pruning in us, even the things that are good, so that what? We can produce more fruit. That's a dynamic I bring out a lot in my series on abundance. We're called to be fruitful people. That's God's whole desire, to give us the fullness of His Spirit, not for us to be dry water pails, but to be full of the life of God. And so when we talk about this language, I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And there's an attitude in which we receive the Word. If we're going to learn this language, if we're going to hear these supernatural things, if we're going to walk in this divine way, if we're going to be led by the Lord and honestly have fun with God, like Audrey was saying, how we view the Word, how we receive the Word is super important. It says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 and 14 says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who read it, believe it. See, how we receive the Word is important. That we receive it, that it's not from man, it's from God. So when we open up the Word, we're saying, Holy Spirit, thank you, you're wanting to teach me something. Thank you, you have something for me. Now, I believe that you take every word and you measure it to the word of God. So even things that Audrey and I are saying, you should make sure that it matches up to the word of God. Amen? Because I guarantee if Miss Audrey says something that's not in the word of God, I'm going to slap her. She'll slap me back too. We receive it as the word of God, not just as something that man gave of their opinions about God. We get into this word and we see the treasure that it is. And then it says, as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And so how we receive the word becomes super important because it's alive. When we talk about this divine order, we said this today, it's understanding who he is, the nature and character of God. And I'll tell you guys right now, I say guys, that's a Colorado thing. I'll tell you ladies. Every promise in here represents the nature of God. These aren't just words. It's a personality. It's not just words, it's the nature. It's the demonstrated character of God. And whatever he says will come to pass. Psalms 119, verses 135, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Ooh, come on. If we're not withering women, we're not broken, we're not dysfunctional, we're not stumbling into the next thing just trying to survive. But because we love the Lord, it says that nothing causes us to stumble. Wow. It says, great peace have those who love your word. Can I tell you one of the things about peace that's so significant and how you know it is supernatural? Is when you walk in peace when the storm is raging. Amen. See, sometimes we think that peace means we have a life with no difficulties. No, it's actually that we bring peace into the difficulties. Amen. You know, can I just tell you, the time to be these little soft, little fluffy, sitting with our little slippers, drinking our cup of tea, women of God, is over. And you might have really great slippers, but you also have a really sharp sword. Okay? So, how do I bring the gentleness and the life of God? And also, how do you and I have an advancing into darkness mentality? I don't want to live this life just of peace and no problems. You know what? I want to advance. I want to rescue the lost. We said this our first night. The treasures of darkness belong to us. I want to go in and kick butt and take names. When I say take names, meaning Jesus, add this one to your book of life and add this one to your book of life. Guys, I'm telling you, the reason the enemy wants to get us stuck and complacent is because the advancing power of God within you, he is terrified of. And how we advance into the darkness is with the promises of God. And it's the boldness that when I speak them, they will work. Because they're not me, they're him. See, when you quote the word of God, you're quoting the character of God. You're releasing the character of God into a situation. Let me say that again. When you speak the promises of God over your body, you are what? You're speaking the personality and character of God over your body. You're not just saying, by his stripes I am healed. You are saying, Jehovah Rapha. The crucified Redeemer who shed his stripes for me is on me. Not just on me, he's in me. So when we speak this language of the word over our life, that's where we have power. That's where you have authority. That's where you start controlling situations. Not because you're right by your own wisdom. Not because your mom, your boss, your wife, your woman. You have authority. You control those things because what? I'm speaking life into them. Not your agenda. You're speaking life into them. And I'll tell you right now, the thing the enemy wants most is to keep you so busy and so distracted that you never have a relationship with the Word of God. So that's why so much of what I share in the book, what we share in the series, what Miss Audrey and I are going to put together for you on Monday is how do we become people, how do we become women of God who put the Word as the priority? And I'm not going to get into a lot of, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Because the Holy Spirit, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who knows your lifestyle. Who knows the demands and commitments on your life. Some of you are morning people. Some of you are night people. Some of you are asleep all day long. So I'm not going to say you have to do it at this time and you have to do it like this. No. It's a personal relationship with God. But you do have to have the discipline to tell your flesh you're not in charge. I'll tell you, that's part of divine order is you get the tenacity of the Spirit of God to tell your flesh it doesn't have a voice. Because what happens is if we're, when we hear it, when we listen to our own voice all the time, do you realize that the enemy tries to hijack your personal pronouns? Yes. I am never going to amount to anything. That's actually the devil. But it sounds like your voice. And so you don't rebuke it because, oh, it's just me. Oh, it's just my dumb thoughts. Oh, it's just my frustrations. No, that's the enemy talking. And you've got to be able to know that language of the enemy because you know the language of the Word. And when so when the enemy tells you you're not capable, you're like, whoa, 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 I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. That when you speak, you start to sound like what? You sound like Scripture. Yes. Why? Because it's living inside of you. It is now what? It's transformed you. And one of the biggest distractions of the enemy is to keep you out of the Word of God. And you know what? Sometimes you don't want to do it. You'd rather binge on Netflix. You'd rather Christmas shop and decorate. There's different things that you will prioritize and say are important. Because unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to spend time in the Word of God because they know that when they're in the Word of God, they're going to be called accountable to the changes that the Holy Spirit is saying to make. And it's easier to stay in excuses and complacency than to actually obey. But can I tell you, can I encourage you tonight? It's worth it. It's worth telling the flesh its place. It's worth disciplining your time and your day and your appetites and your schedule to be in the Word of God. And as we come out, and we see this a lot here at Charis Bible College, as we see people coming out of a lifestyle of religion and performance, God loves you if, God loves you when, God loves you because, and coming into a revelation of grace, coming into a revelation of the goodness of God, coming into a revelation that I am loved, two things happen. They get ticked off. Wait a minute, you mean for years I've heard that God made me sick? For years I was told I wasn't good enough? And they get ticked off and they want to call their pastors up. Wait a minute, why didn't you tell me this, right? And two, because they're learning grace and they're learning this love of God, there can be a pendulum swing. Well, because he loves me, well, then I don't have to do anything. I don't have to read, pray, or study anymore because I'm loved. Listen, you don't read, pray, and study to have God love you. You read, pray, and study to understand how much he loves you. Completely different mentality. Saying, Lord, show me today how much you love me. Because when I open up this word, you're going to show me. This is what I love about the word of God. It says in Psalms 119, verses 41 and 42, it says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. See, this is part of that alignment. This is part of this overflow, is then we start to have this release, knowing that our salvation, all the goodness, all the blessings, all the overflow, all the breakthrough, all the healing, all the demonstration of God's power comes through what? His word. Because that's, we're going to the word and opening it and saying, all right, let's discover what's already mine today. We don't go to the word just to prove our spirituality, and we don't go to the word to try to become better versions of ourselves. Let me give context to that. You go to the word of God to see what version he made you to be. And then in your submission to that, there's transformation. If you look at the word of God like a to-do list, you will despise it. Because how many to-do lists do you have? How many of you are list makers in the room? How many of you will write a list and then add things to the list just to make sure that you can cross something off of your list? Oh, Jesus, help us. If we just look at the word of God as this massive to-do list of what we're not yet, what we still need to become, what one day hopefully we'll arrive at, the things that we all need to do better, then guess what? There is no joy and there is no desire to be in the word nor to learn that language. So how you view the word is you have to see it as a mirror and a reflection of what Jesus has already done. That's why it talks about the word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We know these verses. The word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's living. It's not a dead book. It's living. It's wanting to reveal life and victory and power and divine intervention in our lives. That's why the Holy Spirit needs you to know that language. So that as you're led by him into these situations, you're speaking the word of God. And if you're speaking the word of God, guess what? That two-edged sword is coming out. And you're able to declare it over situations. You're able to declare it over emotions. You take that sword of the word of God and you speak to symptoms. And you may say, well, symptoms are, but I actually have a disease or I actually have a sickness. Here's the thing. You have been healed of the Lord. So what the enemy's trying to tell you is that your symptoms are the sickness. So you got to start speaking to symptoms. Hey, I'm healed. I don't have this disease. I don't have this. I don't have this diagnosis over my life. I just have symptoms of something you're trying to lie to me about. And so I'm going to tell these symptoms they are a lie, and then you start using what? You start using the word of God to cut out those symptoms. Pain has to go. No. Depression has to go. Cancer, I don't care what they say is growing in me. I root it out by the word of God. Every thought, every declaration, every name that tries to exalt itself above the name of Jesus, you say, I curse that thing in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you guys, that's the language of the word. That's the language of power. And that's when you're taking your body and you're bringing it what? Into alignment with the word of God. And as you bring it into alignment with the word of God, guess what? That word starts to what? Be released in your life. It's already been released through the cross, but your words are now releasing it into your life. Because it's not just speaking the language of the word to everyone else. You have got to preach the word to yourself. Yeah. Do you know how many times I drive home and say, Pickett, knock it off. I'm not talking to Mike Pickett. I'm not going to carry Pickett. Pickett. And if you don't know what to say, and if you don't know what scripture to use, Shandarabasindarabasidudu. Amen? All right, I've got to speak Holy Spirit because, Lord, I do not know what to say right now. I do not know how to pray. My emotions are trying to tell me all kinds of things. So you know what? I'm going to tell your emotions. This is part of you crucifying the flesh. This is part of you telling the flesh, you don't get to rile me up. Because it is really hard to yell at somebody in your head, you know what, how about, and go shandalabasidurobosa at the same time. It does sound like I'm yelling at the devil. And then sometimes I sound French. Voila. I always think it's funny when I sound French when I'm speaking in tongues. I'm like, ooh, what am I saying? All right, you can be the interpretation. This is part of us, of us coming in alignment with the Word of God. That you're able to then declare that language to those symptoms, to the debt, to the disease, but you're speaking it over your own heart. And one of the greatest people that needs sermons from you is you. And if you don't know what you should be preaching to yourself, then you need to find teachers to sit down with the Word of God, and you need to start listening. You need to start listening and writing out, what does the Word of God say about this? Praise God, for us as the body of Christ, we can come together and say, I need to learn in this. And then you find teachers who speak not their opinion, but they speak the Word of God. And I want to say part of the divine order for many of you in this season is you need to shut some other noises down and turn on the Word of God. Even if you just keep it going in your home. You know what? Listening to the word and listening to scripture will change the atmosphere of your home. Right? If you're just like, oh man, everything's just so tense in my home, then start bringing in the word of God. Play it. Play it in song. There's all kinds of apps, Bible reading apps. You get the Bluetooth and you put it on in your house. And that doesn't mean that you're going to sit and remember every word. You know, sometimes you'll be doing the dishes and then someone will say something. You're like, ooh. And you go back and you rewind it. Now, what was that again? What you're doing is you're cultivating your heart to hear the word of God. Psalms 27, verse 1 through 3, it says this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. Be confident in what? That the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength of my life. When you get into the Word of God, what is the Word of God telling you? It's constantly telling you your victory. Your victory, your victory, your victory. So that when the enemy tries to tell you that something's impossible, what do you respond back? You respond back with declarations of victory. Not just, I will have victory, but I do have victory. So I said earlier this morning, the aspect of the sound of celebration is part of the language of the word. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I'm healed and whole. Body, I don't care what you're telling me right now. I am a dangerous woman. And I pray dangerous prayers. And I am a person of obedience, which makes my actions dangerous to darkness. So I'm celebrating that whatever you're trying to tell me is my reality today, I'm turning it back on you and I'm telling you what your reality is today. I'm telling this body what the reality is going to be today. And you keep speaking those things. You know, it's amazing. The more that you speak that language, and this is what's amazing. When I first went as a missionary to Russia, I was 21 years old. I moved into Ufa, Russia. I was a central part of Russia. And I started to learn Russian. And I learned how to read Russian first. And so I was able to read Russian so that when I learned a new word, I would write it in Russian. But then next to it, I write it phonetically in English. So I was teaching myself to read it in Russian and to see those letters in Russian, but then also to phonetically see it in English to teach myself how to say it. And I would have this little notebook that I always carried with me. And I just kept learning a word here and a word there and a phrase here and a phrase there. And I've shared this before. We'd be in praise and worship and they'd be singing, you know, Slava, Slava Tibie, Gospod. Slava Tibie, Gospod. And I just kept hearing this word, Slava, 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 Slava. And I was just like, what is that? And they would be like, that means glory. And I would be like, yes. So sometimes we'd be in praise and worship. I'm not understanding anything, but they'd say, Slava, say Slava. Because it's the only word I knew, but I say it with all my heart. Holy glory, right? And then, okay, so then after a while, I was like, what does Gospod mean? And they're like, Lord. And I'm like, oh, glory God. So I'd walk around, Slava Tibie, Gospod, Slava Tibie, right? And so I just learned these phrases. You know, when I first went, you had to go to the grocery store. And you couldn't just put it in your basket. You have to walk up, and there was a lady behind the counter, and you would say, because I didn't know what to say. I had to say everything I wanted. If I wanted milk, I had to say malako. If I wanted flour, I had to say muka. If I wanted eggs, I had to say yaitsa. And I had to learn each and every word. Oh, it was exhausting. And so I was learning these words. Okay, I need egg, bread, cheese, and milk. Like, oh, those are the four words I know, so that I got to make recipes out of those four things. But then I learned lapsha, which is noodles, and they learned myasa, which is meat. And I said, myasa, and they're like, which one? And I'm like, I don't know, just give me something. Just give me myasa. So my interpreter comes over one day, and she looks at me in my kitchen. And on my kitchen window was these bags. It was a big bag of sugar and a big bag of crackers and a big bag of noodles and a big bag of apples. And she said, Gary, you have a lot of food. And I said, I know. And she goes, well, how are you asking? And I'm like, well, I learned, and they would say, skolka, how much? And I would just say, kilo. That's all I knew. And so I had a kilo of sugar and a kilo of eggs. I had so much. And I was like, I just don't want this much. So she said, se po kilo, which is half a kilo. So I went next and I'm like, po kilo, pajalista. And I got half a bag. My budget went down and my windowsill emptied out. Key words. But then after a while, this is what was amazing, is I started to dream in Russian. And I started to have dreams of ministering to people in Russian. And then people say, how long did it take you to learn Russian? Well, I lived in Russia for 16 years, and it took me 16 years. Because it wasn't something that you just learned completely. It's just new words and new phrases and new language. But what's amazing is as I learned, the more I learned, I could be talking to someone And God would have me hear a conversation over here of two students, and I would overhear a conversation in Russian and be thinking, I wish I hadn't heard that because now I have to deal with it. And all of a sudden, I could actually understand other people's conversations. We'd get into the car, and the radio would be saying stupid stuff, and I'd be asking the driver, I'm like, hey, do you believe that? You know that's not true, right? You know what? You know what? God has something better than that. And I'd start preaching against the news that I now understood in the car. Because here's the thing, the more you put the word of God in, the more you understand the language and you start to think in the language of the word. So that when the language of the world says something, you're like, whoa, that's not right. And you're bringing out the language of the word. This is super important when we talk about this divine order, that you're not going to experience the abundance of these things until your life comes in alignment with the relationship with the word of God. So it's in asking the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people tell me, Carrie, the Bible is boring. And it's boring is because we've developed appetites of the world and we believe that they bring us more pleasure. And again, it's boring and it's difficult if you're reading it the wrong way. If you're reading it as a to-do list. If you're reading the Word of God as a dear child from a disappointed father. If that's how you read the word, if you constantly hear disappointment, if you constantly see shame, if you constantly feel condemnation, you're not reading it with the Spirit of God. You're reading it out of eyes and perspective of religion. Can I tell you, God wants to cause our relationship with the Word of God to come alive. And this is something we can ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to deepen a relationship with your word like never before. And can I tell you, and I said this to the students the other day, every significant new season and new level and greater influence of my life always came after a revival of the word. And I've known the Lord for 40 years. I've been saved for 40 years. I won't tell you when I got saved. No, I was 6 years old, so I'm 47. And every single time I felt this stirring in my heart that I got to move some things away. I need to get back into the word at another level. And it's not that I don't know the word, and it's not that I'm not preaching the word, and it's not that I'm not in the word, but God says, Carrie, I want you to go deeper. And every time that happened, there was significant breakthrough, change, spiritual promotion, financial promotion, a different freedom and a different security. And so I want to invite you that this is something that God wants to stir within you during this time. That when you leave here, it's not, oh, that was a great conference. It's, Lord, I want a new relationship with your word. I want this order of your word, this language of your word to land within my heart. So that when someone comes against me, it says that we have an answer for the one who reproaches us. So when the devil tries to tell us who we are, what we can and can't have, what disease we have to accept, we're like, who do you think you are? Amen? If somebody were just to come into your house, maybe some kids' friends, maybe your spouse's friend, maybe a neighbor, and they just started coming in, and they started cussing and swearing. I mean, they're just dropping all kinds of stuff, filthy, disgusting language. Would you put up with it? Absolutely not. You'd be like, excuse me? Who raised you? The devil? That's what you sound like. Hey, we don't talk like that, right? You wouldn't put up with it. But so many times, we let the things and the mentalities of the world just speak like that in our homes. We just let it be part of our everyday, just the worldly conversation, the lies of the enemy that we just accept as everyday conversation. And you and I get to be able to say, okay, how am I going to respond to my everyday life with the word of God? And can I just say this? And this is going to sound like an advertisement. It is. But I'll just tell you, this is one of the reasons why Andrew and Jamie started Charis Bible College, is to teach people, including myself, because I'm a graduate, how to love the Word and to see it for what it is. And you may say, well, hey, listen, I can't come to school. That's fine. If you can't come to school, we'll bring school to you. Okay, we have online, I've talked to many of you today as we were doing the book signing. Many of you are going through first year Charis. Listen, it's what kind of priority are you going to place on your hunger for the Word of God? And sometimes we need help knowing, how do I start and what do I learn? So can I encourage you, please talk to them at the booth and say, you know what? Just come to them and say, I need language lessons. And they'll be like, absolutely, let's sign you up. Because we have to put the Word of God inside of us, so that when the Spirit of God speak to us, we recognize it's the Spirit of God. It's not, have you ever wondered, was that me or is that God? Have you ever said that? Is that me or is that God? Well, that's showing us that in that area, we don't have a language basis. We don't have a language knowledge to identify if it was God or not. We're not able to have a discernment. And can I tell you, ladies, you should be absolutely ninjas of discernment. I mean, way past what the world says is, you know, women's intuition. I mean, you should be ninjas of discernment. Now, you're able to read something because, man, you can see through the lies of the enemy and you know what the Word of God sounds like. Amen? And so as we continue, we're going to have some amazing stuff tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss this. But this aspect of the Word and the relationship with the Spirit of God, coming into this alignment, coming into this obedience, coming into this surrender. And as versus us doing our own wisdom, what? It's acknowledgement, not just to God, what do you want? But it's God, what do you want according to your Word? And then you can know, you can walk away from something, thus says the Lord. And then you start to be women of wisdom and counsel versus just opinion and advice. People can ask your advice all the time, and we're happy to give it. Oh, let me tell you. You didn't ask me, but let me tell you. It's my offering to you today. We have all kinds of advice that we can live by giving people things. We can have all kinds of perspective and principles that have maybe worked for us, but that's our lives and our family and our the way we're doing our children and our marriage and our finances. You know, lots of good principles. But listen, to be people of wisdom, to be women of counsel of God, that when you speak, you're speaking life of God into situations. That's when you're not only seeing breakthrough in your life, but you're able to speak breakthrough and power in the people around you, because you stop giving your advice or perspective of this world, but you're speaking the language of the Word. That's what makes your words anointed. That's what holds authority. That's what holds breakthrough power. That's what holds resisting the devil authority to see miracle signs and wonders. It's not us. It's the Word of God that we release through us. And if the enemy can stop it from getting in us, then we'll never experience it going through us. So much of what we're saying, even in this time, is that we're putting some things aside. And I'm not saying that you have to get rid of something, you just put the Word in front of them. You reprioritize, you bring this surrender, so you're saying, Holy Spirit, I want to have that kind of relationship. I want to have that kind of obedience. I want to have that surrender. But I have to know the language and your heart for me. And I need to know that heart for me to be able to have relationship. And then out of that relationship comes this beautiful obedience. Amen. So here's the challenge, is that you ask the Holy Spirit what a new type of relationship with the Word looks like. For some of you, it's you're just actually reading your Bible. Amen. That you actually open it. You don't just carry it around. You open it up. And then you set time for it. And then when your flesh tries to tell you, oh no, you're too busy, you're too tired, you tell it, yeah, you're not in charge. Well, Miss Audrey was teaching today. My daughter leaned over and she said, Mom, I want to show you something. This is so sad. And I'm like, Ellie, not right now. She said, no, Mom, you need to see this. And it was this picture. And it was like this, this landscape scene. And it said, I felt way too tired to pray and spend time with the Lord today or in my Bible. It was just like a just point of view. I just felt too tired. And then the next scene was it showed Jesus sitting at a table with flowers, and he had a bouquet, and he was waiting. She goes, isn't that sad? And I tell you, the Lord is waiting for fellowship. He's not going to force you into it, but he's ready. He's ready to reveal love and wisdom and breakthrough and the things that you need. Can I tell you, he knows what you need that you don't even know you need. You ever got a gift and you're like, I always wanted this, but I didn't know I wanted this. Or you see something and you're like, honey, I need this. Really? Yes, I need it. How, why? I didn't know I needed it until this exact moment. But I need it. That's exactly what the Word of God does. I didn't even know this was an area that God saw me in or that I needed to release until I saw it. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is right there. So ask him. What's supposed to change in your relationship with the Word? And can I encourage you, start tomorrow morning. Well, so you can start tonight if you want. But tomorrow morning, just get up, take a little extra time, and before you come, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to share with me? Just test him. Prove him. Just say, Lord, what do you want to say? Just open up and see what the Lord wants to say. Someone said, Carrie, I just can't get up early. I just can't. So I always, they're like, I'm just too tired. So I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to get up 20 minutes early or 30 minutes early to read your Bible, go to bed 30 minutes earlier. And they're like, oh. Do you know how much time you waste reading the news? Reading TikTok? Do you know how many generations have passed while you are on Pinterest? So just pull back. Just say, you know what? These things, I'm putting it over here, and I'm going to spend this first with the Lord. Just prioritize the Word. I'll just tell you right now, that is divine order. And you get into alignment with the Word of God, you will see promises exploding in your life. Victory is your new norm. Healing, not only something you're walking in, not only victory in your health and divine health that you begin walking in, but divine health in your home. When your kids are sick, you're like, come here. Come here. Let's lay hands on you. We're going to cast this thing out in Jesus' name. You are anointed. And God made you in a way that he could fill you with his Spirit so that when you're in the Word of God, the Spirit of God is able to speak to you spiritual things. So you're not dumb. It's not too much for you. It's not too hard because you have the Spirit of God within you and he will teach you and he will lead you and he will guide you. Amen? It's a simple message, but I'm telling you, it changes everything. And if we're going to have breakthrough, if we're going to have reset, it always involves a relationship with the Word. It always involves a greater priority of the Word that's renewing our hearts and minds. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. Not only us in this room, our live stream audience, everyone that's watching. Lord, sometimes we just need to have our heads turned back to what is the priority? What's the real treasure within our lives? And Lord, we don't want to be people that have the language of this world. Constant lies, doubt, disappointment, frustration, the language of sickness, the language of debt, the language of disease, the language of dysfunction, the language of excuses. That is not the kind of women that we were created to be. And I'm just going to invite you that if you're saying, I know that I've been speaking the language of the world versus the language of the Lord, and I want to refocus my relationship with God. I want to have divine order in this in my life greater than ever before. Stand. I'm standing. If I could stand more, I'd stand more. And if you're doing great and you got a great relationship with the Lord, awesome. But do you want more? So, Father, we are making commitment that the distractions and voices of this world will not be the megaphone we listen to. But Father, I thank you that each and every person in this room, Holy Spirit, right now, stir up hunger for your word. Holy Spirit, cause there to be a hungering and thirsting for you. You're not hiding from us. We're not hungering and thirsting out of religious wording. We hunger and thirst after you because we're saying we're changing our appetites. And so, Father, right now, the distractions that have been coming, the flesh that has been speaking to us so loudly, we say you are not in charge. And we're making priorities for today. Not for 2026, not a new kind of study for 2026, but today. And Father, we just thank you that as we come into your word, Lord, there is divine alignment because we're aligning ourselves to your character, to your heart, to your promises, to the reflection of you and all you are and want to release of all that you are in us and through us. We thank you for this right now. And any religious spirit that is saying the Bible is boring, it's dead, it's confusing, it's difficult, we rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. And our hearts are able to see and our hearts are able to understand. And anyone in this room that says, I just don't get it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. We also rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of truth. We have the teacher living inside of us. And we believe right now that we're going to be led and guided into new truth and new understanding more than any other time in our life. In Jesus' name. And we're going to understand promises, and those promises aren't for, ooh, the sweet by and by. They're for the here, now in Jesus' name. And there's going to be authority and declaration, because when things try to rise up above the name of Jesus, we will speak word to it in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you right now in this room. Symptoms in this room. Symptoms that have been told to you what you have, what to expect, and where you're going in your body. We say right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak the word of God to these symptoms, and we say you are healed, you are whole. All sickness, all disease, we curse you right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever area, whatever sickness is in your body right now, you lay your hand on it. Lay your hand on whatever part of your body, one hand, two hands, and grab somebody else's hands and lay it on you. Be like, hi, here. Right now, we speak to these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, bodies, you are healed and you are whole. And we say, disease, you are dead. Whatever name has been given to the diseases in your body, they are cursed right now in the name of Jesus. Because the word of God is the truth. It is a sword. And we speak it, and it's going to divide right now the things that have joints and marrow and the things that are of the Spirit of God. And we're saying right now, we identify you as a lie of the enemy, and you do not have authority to tell my body what it does, what it has to live with right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we say any language of debt over our lives, any language of brokenness, any language of dysfunctional relationships, attitudes, or past, we tell you right now in the name of Jesus, we speak the life-giving word and we say, we are healed. We have the joy of our salvation. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so, Father, we thank you for this right now. And we celebrate. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate the truth of your word. We celebrate that your word is a reflection of who we are, not what we're trying to become, but who you've made us to be right now. In Jesus' name. Let's celebrate. Let's thank the Lord. Amen.